Hello there, and welcome back to Scaling Wellness. Great to have you back here again. I'm Caroline Kopp, and I am your host for Scaling Wellness Podcast, which is for wellness experts who are looking to grow their business and grow usually beyond your time and your energy and your availability to something that has the opportunity to reach a wider audience. And so this is the second episode of a five-part series that I'm running, which is going to walk you through the exact framework, the marketing framework that I use with my clients who already have digital products that are ready to scale. So this would typically be a membership, it could be a group program, it could be a course, or it could be simply something that is one-to-one but available online. So it's not person-to-person, so it's maybe using your time still, but it could be operated from anywhere in the world, which I know is something that is really important to lots of my members. So in the last episode, you might want to go back and listen to the last one if you haven't done already, where we talked about the first step in the Flow series, which is F-L-O-W. The first step is to find, and how to find magnetic people that are drawn to you and drawn to your marketing and gets you seen not only by lots of people, but also by the right people. But as we know, visibility isn't enough. Which brings us on to today's focus, which is all about leads. So the second step that I work on with clients is about generating leads, because if you don't have leads, you don't have a business. There's a few quite well-known experts in the field that talk about everything being downhill from lead generation. So if we get the leads, we have the business. If we don't get leads, if we don't get traffic, if we don't have people coming to us, then we don't have a business online. In fact, we don't have a business in any sense. You know, if you don't have people coming to your classes or inquiring about your classes or your coaching sessions, then you don't have a business. So those are your leads. And the same thing happens online. So this session is all about what happens after people find you. So we've already talked about the finding process. But what about how you nurture that connection, how you build trust, how you turn curiosity into people that are actively considering working with you? And so let's dive in and let's look at the first section, which is all around moving someone from being a stranger on the internet to someone that's buying from you. So just because someone has followed you, maybe they've downloaded a freebie, maybe they've watched a reel that you've done, it doesn't mean that they are automatically, immediately ready to buy. So we need to stop expecting that kind of instant conversion. And instead, we need to focus on building a journey for our customers. And typically, I'm recording this in 2025, that customer journey, that buying, going from being a stranger to being someone that's ready to work with you and invest in you, typically that journey is taking a little bit longer for people now. So we need to be even better at nurturing that relationship. We need to be even better at curating an experience for people that helps them before they even consider buying from us. So that's kind of what I'm doing with this podcast. Like, the podcast works in a few different ways, but hopefully it gives you loads of value, loads of assistance, loads of help, so that you never actually need to pay for my services. In theory, you wouldn't ever need to. You could get everything you needed from this podcast. And so your business is going to be the same. You want to be giving people as much as you can in terms of help before they even work with you. And I know that can feel really counterintuitive, because there's always that worry about giving too much away for free. But you know what? In the day of ChatGPT, everything you know, everything that's in your brain is available already on the internet. So you need to be matching that and exceeding that and speaking to your clients using your story in order to kind of build relationships. What people will pay for is implementation. They will pay for how. They don't pay for what. So you can be really comfortable that you can give away your knowledge for free. And we need to create that kind of consistent content in order to be able to deepen the trust that our audience have with us. So this is how we move from, you know, people on Instagram following us and watching us and lurking, which happens a lot in health, by the way, to move them to saying, you know, you're the person I need to work with. You're the answer for my problem. You are the solution. And this is the part that most wellness experts skip or do really inconsistently, because it's the invisible work. It's the work that happens behind the scenes, but it is essential. It's the essential work, nurturing, helping, serving your clients before they ever get their credit card out is what helps people to say yes to you when you do eventually open your cart, open your doors, put an offer in front of them, ask for the sale. And so there are a few ways that we need to do that and we need to help nurture people. So first of all, let's start by talking about content, because this is where your nurturing begins. And I want to be clear that this is not about flooding your Instagram feed with tips, top five tips, top 10 tips, because people don't want or need more information. As we've already covered this morning, people already have information. What they want is connection. They want to feel your feels. They want to understand where you come from, what your background is, what your story is. And so storytelling is a really good secret weapon. And storytelling is something that I've always struggled with. I remember a long time ago, someone I work with saying to me, you know, we need to pull out the stories in your business. And I thought, I don't have stories. I just go to work, do my job and come home again. You know, I just teach. I don't have stories. But the stories are the people. They are the people you work with. They're your stories. They're your interpretations. They're things that you've experienced, things that you've understood, things that you have found whilst working with people. So we can start by telling them your story, you know, where you started, where did you come from? What's your background? These are the kind of things that really build trust. You can go back a couple of episodes and listen to the origin story episode, which is like your marketing secret weapon. Your origin story is so key. And someone I was talking to the other day, she said, you know, I really struggle with this because I don't feel like I have some big, exciting, you know, turnaround in my background. I don't have this big story of something I've overcome. But what she does have is a very compelling long-term attitude and approach to wellness. Now, she's a health coach. And so I can guarantee there are people in her world that are looking at her thinking, how do you do it? How does she maintain that attitude, that outcome? How is she getting these results? People are watching you. And so telling your story, telling how you do the things you do, things that probably feel really easy for you, feel really simple for you, are really compelling for your clients. One of the things that I've always found is that when I speak honestly about my story with my health and my energy levels, energy has always been something that I have struggled with. I'm quite a high energy person, but I have serious crashes. And so one thing I've done since I was about 18 is I've very, very specifically managed my diary. I have lots of clear space, lots of white space, lots of time. And that can be time poorly spent. I can be faffing around and, you know, not necessarily constructive time, but I need space between events. My nightmare would be to have a Friday night out, Saturday with shopping with friends, Saturday night out, Sunday seeing family, you know, Sunday evening meeting a friend for dinner and then going back to work on a Monday. That would be my nightmare weekend. Now, for some people, that's a great weekend, but for me, that would be a nightmare. You could take at least 60, 70% out of that, and then you've got close to a perfect weekend for me. So these are things that I do naturally, that I do easily. And it's only when I've touched on it in the past that I've realized that people don't do it. People are struggling with, you know, tiredness and fatigue and exhaustion and stamina and not fitting things in, and they're not doing the strategies that I'm doing. And so you need to be looking at your story and the things that you're doing and you have done and you've learned, and think of ways that that might help your people. How is this stuff relevant to people? You need to be, in your storytelling, letting people into the why. Like, what's happening behind the scenes of your work? Why do you do what you do? Why are you helping the people you help? Why are you in the world of the methodology that you teach or coach? Share client stories, transformations. These are the really obvious stories, you know, the A to B's. This is where my client started. This is where she is now. This is it in her words. This is it in my words. You know, there's loads of different ways you can share transformation, case studies, before and afters. You know, they all are stories that speak volumes to your clients. And then Think about speaking to what they are thinking but not saying out loud. So think of the stories that they have in their head, the objections, the reasons why they might not be doing what they know they should be doing. And you can again come into that with stories. You know, this is what I used to do to put off going to the gym, or this is what my client has been doing to not eat enough protein. Like, these are the stories, the things that they know they should be doing, but they're not doing. So speak to those as well. And then the biggest thing here, guys, is do it consistently. Be consistent. You don't have to post every day. I don't expect you to be emailing every day, but I do want you to be consistent. So if you have an email list that is dead and, you know, you really haven't contacted them for a long time, just start with once a fortnight. Send them something of value, whether it's a story, whether it's a client transformation, whether it's your story, whether it's just a podcast that you think would help them, something that you're going to do consistently. And then whatever you send them, turn that into two or three Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn posts. You know, repurpose your content. Don't make this difficult for yourself. Whatever you're putting on an email can also be going in a blog, in a video, in a social media post, in a story. You can really make your content work for you so that you're not reinventing the wheel every time you come to post something. You could have weekly themes, monthly themes that just make that content easier to create. But consistency is the key, because trust is built through repetition. People will not buy from you typically when they see one Facebook post. They will buy because you show up week after week. You're in their feed. You're in the front of their, what is it, their temporal lobe, whatever that part of your brain is that remembers. You know, they are looking for you without realizing it. So if you disappear, your audience won't remember what you do, let alone trust you enough to invest. So the people who convert, who get people moving through this nurture, are the ones who have been watching for weeks, sometimes months. And in the world of wellness, you can rest assured that these people won't necessarily be commenting, liking, sharing your posts. They probably won't even reply to your emails, but they are watching. They are there lurking. They are in the background, sussing you out, whether they know it or not. It may be that they just like what you're doing and they're just watching. But sometimes they are actively scoping you out. They're trying to figure out what it is you do. So they're just looking from the background. So you may not get a lot back from these people, which is why most people give up. It didn't work. I didn't hear anything. I went on a podcast and I didn't get any inquiries. I sent out an email and no one replied. But it doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about them. So think about speaking to the people that are in the background there, the ones you know are lurking. And eventually someone will come to you in a DM or an email and say, oh, I've been watching your podcast, listening to your podcast, or I've been watching your Instagram feed. And I just wondered if you could tell me how we could work together. And suddenly they'll come out of the blue and you'll be thinking, where the hell did this person come from? Who are they? I didn't know they were even watching. And then you look back and they're the person that may have liked something 6 weeks ago, or, you know, they might have watched or submitted a poll entry or liked a post or a story. So don't worry if you're not getting anything back. It's not about you. It's about them. We're here to be of service. Put your stuff out and do it consistently. Next up, we need to be positioning ourselves as the expert. So the lead stage is also about positioning you. You want your audience to be thinking, when I'm ready, that's the person I'll go to. Now, that doesn't happen by accident. And here's how to start claiming that expert space. There are a few ways that we can do this. So firstly, talk about the why behind the method. Not just what you do, but why you do it. This makes you stand out in a crowded market. Every time I talk about online business, people ask me if the online space is saturated. And every time I say it's noisy, it's busy, but it's not saturated. And the fact that there is a market out there, that there are people doing what you do or what you want to do, shows there's a market. There are people looking to buy. The people are making money. So talk about why you do what you do, and that sets you apart in that crowded market, in that noisy space. So why you do what you do, why you're here, what your story is. So really speak about that, the why around your method, and that's going to help you to stand out. have clear opinions on how you think people should be operating, you know, what you want people to do. Have clear steps, clear pointers. This is how you get from A to B. You can have frameworks, you can have methodologies, you can name your own methodology. But have that, make that really clear. You know, clear what you stand for. Clear the hill you will die on. So for me, it's very much that online is not second best. That is a hill I will die on. People get incredible results online. People don't always want in person. Even if you think they do, there's always people that don't. There are always people that want online and will get better results online. But online, there has to be a transformation. It's not enough to offer more of your methodology, more Pilates, more personal training, more yoga. So the hill I will die on is that if you don't have a clear transformational promise, your product will not sell. That's a hill I will die on. That is my opinion. It's very clear in everything I do. And so it's really important that we have these clear frameworks. I'm also really clear on the fact that I want women in wellness to have businesses that surpass their previous careers. I want you to have a business. This is not about working around the children anymore. This is not about something that is flexible. This is about you building a legacy for your family, creating wealth, building something that has the opportunity, the potential to grow beyond your time, your energy, your capability. It's about growth and scaling and building something that is worth having and worth the time. So that, again, is a hill I will die on. So I have some very clear, I'm not opinionated. I'm not an opinionated person at all. In fact, I'm very much a kind of on the fence, middle of the road kind of girl. But there are very clear pillars to my method, to what I'm offering people. And I think it comes through because people often work with me for those reasons. So it's important when you're positioning yourself as an expert to have all of that. But you also need to be visible. You need to be visible to your clients and be growing those leads, but also nurturing them. So when you're nurturing, you need to be nurturing through a few different ways. Probably you need to be on social media. I know not everyone loves social media, but when you know who you're talking to, what your niche is, social media does become a lot simpler. But you absolutely need to have an email list. You need to be talking to your people and getting them onto your email list in order to nurture them. So a final way that you can position yourself as an expert is to speak to your clients' objections before they voice them. Now, this is something I saw last week in a bit of marketing, and I tried to go back and find it and screenshot it, but I couldn't. And it was a flip-flop brand, and they were saying, their marketing headline was, "We're not the cheapest." So they are immediately addressing that pain point that when someone goes onto their website, they're going to go, 40 quid for a pair of flip-flops, I can get, you know, whatever for half that price. So they're addressing that objection straight away. And what they're saying is, we're not the cheapest, but we are the best. We come in all these colours, we have this arch support, we have all these features and functions that means that we're not the cheapest, but we are the best if you are this person and this type and you need this type of flip-flop. So addressing those objections, I haven't got time. Your marketing will talk about how you don't need time. It hasn't worked for me before. Your marketing will talk about the ways that this is different. So think about what the things that might stop your client from working with you and voice them, talk to them. And so even if you don't have a huge following, it's important that you're seen as a leader and you need to lead. This is what this stage of your nurture is all about. Positioning yourself as an expert is about leading people and forming a tribe. You know, imagine yourself being the person in the middle of that group of people and you're asking them to follow you. You're asking them to come with you on this journey. The final section, actually it's not the final section, it's the penultimate section, is all about nurturing through your email. So your email list, I've already mentioned, is really important, but email really shines because social media is noisy and can be really distracting, whereas email can be personal. Your email list is where you're going to go deeper, sharing all of this stuff that we're talking about. You might be thinking, listening to this, but where do I put all this stuff? Well, it's on your website, it's on your socials, and it's on your email list. Share stories, invite people in, sell softly and consistently. And if you're only emailing your list when you are launching something, when doors are open, when you're selling, you are missing a massive opportunity. So a strong nurture sequence will look like taking people through a journey. So like a welcome series, when people join, they get taken through a series of emails that welcomes them. Maybe you would need to be doing a weekly-ish, maybe fortnightly email that gives value, inspires, educates, solves a problem, speaks to a pain point, tells them a story, talks about a transformation, you know, any of those things, but some sort of consistent, regular email content. My audience get this podcast every week, and I quite often send other emails, but every single Monday they get this podcast. You could kind of weave in a few subtle sort of sales breadcrumbs, sharing the offers, talking about waitlists, telling people how they can work with you. But in your general consistent nurture, you don't need to be selling all the time, but you do need to be including calls to action. So things that you want people to do, maybe you share an Instagram post that you really loved, that really blew up and you want people to know about it. Maybe you direct them to a podcast that you've been on recently. Maybe you talk to them about a blog post that you did a year ago that's still really relevant. The aim isn't to impress people in your email, but it's to connect with them. It's to ask them to do something and get them to take action, because the more times they can take action with you, the more likely they are then to buy from you and work with you. And then the final section, warming up your audience. So how do you know when someone goes from being what we call a cold lead, so someone completely new to your world, to a warm lead? Now, there are a few signs. So we want to warm up our audience with our nurture. So when we've got these leads, we want to be nurturing them in all the ways that we've talked about today. But when we know someone is moving towards being a warm lead, and typically, like I said, in health, this can be a little bit harder to spot, but typically they might reply to something. They might reply to a story or an email. You can look at your email stats and see who's opening the emails, who's clicking on the emails. So you kind of get a view, an overview of the people that are taking action and are most interested. Maybe they've asked you a question or they've booked a call with you. Maybe they've downloaded your freebie and they've opened it a few times. Maybe they are lingering on your sales page or DM you about working together. Now, these people don't need more convincing. And someone actually said to me on a call last week, you know, I don't want this next 20 minutes to be about you convincing me. And I thought that's really interesting, because that is not what I intended to do. I just wanted to find out about her business. So it was interesting that she went into a call expecting to be convinced. Actually, the upshot was she was already convinced. She already wanted to join. She just had a few objections. She just had a few questions. You know, will this work for me? Is it going to be the right thing for me? When can I start? You know, the usual questions that people have. I'm not in the business of convincing anyone to buy from me. I don't want to work with people that I need to convince. They are not the people that bring me joy either. So, but I am happy to nurture. I'm happy to share and help, so that you come to a decision that's right for you, which is why I feel with an email list, if people unsubscribe, take that as a good thing. When people leave your list, it's them saying thanks but no thanks, and that's okay. We don't want those people on our list. I don't need those people. I don't need to be spending my time marketing to those people, because they're good. They don't need me. So they're happy, let them go, and we make room for the people that do need us. So you need to make sure that when you're nurturing, you're making the next step easy and obvious. So we've talked about the call to action, but you might be talking about getting them to download a freebie, inviting them to book a call, sending them to your Instagram page, you know, giving them a low ticket offer. Something at this stage is going to help to kind of tap into that warm audience and give them a next option. So when people get to that point where they're kind of ready to do something, to make a move, maybe it's not signing up to your big offer, but maybe it's doing something. That's where we can offer them something small, like an opportunity to dip their toe a little bit further into our world. So rather than listening to the podcast, you might decide to sign up for the Nail Your Wellness Niche freebie, for example. So we're moving people from follower to potential client. So let's wrap up. Let's pull this all together. Your lead stage, the L of flow, the lead stage is all about creating content that deepens trust, selling stories that make people feel seen, positioning you as an expert, using email and social to build content and connection over time, and warming people up so they are ready to say yes. It's all about the nurture. If this is a step that you have been skipping, and you are definitely not alone, and that the fix doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. Now, this is what we do inside the Scaling Wellness Accelerator, so you may be ready for that. But if not, maybe just take one thing from the list that we've talked about today to implement in your business. You know, maybe you implement a nurture sequence. When people download a freebie, they get a lovely set of emails. Maybe you start putting call to actions in your emails. Maybe you're going to post a little bit more consistently. So we do all that inside the accelerator. I will help you to build out your full flow system, starting with the finding clients, moving on to nurturing those leads, making offers, and then wowing your audience with something that's incredibly transformational for them. So if you are ready to take action, the Scaling Wellness Accelerator, the next round starts in September. So you can absolutely join me there. If not, tune in again next week, or if you're kind of, you know, teetering, tune in next week and find out about the next section of the flow offer, which is O for offer, because even the warmest of leads, even if you have loads of leads coming into your business, if you are not offering them anything, then you will not be building a business. So the offer is really important, how we position it and how we make sure it is clear, compelling, aligned, and, you know, at a point where people are ready. So I would love to hear how you've found this episode. Please do comment, leave me a review, or just share on Instagram. If you've listened to this episode, just share, tag me in, and let me know what you thought. Thanks ever so much for being here, and I will be back again next week with our next section of this process.